Well, are you one of our students for Self-Improvement Wednesday? Each week you get to learn something new. Your lesson this week, the dinosaur of the turtle world, the alligator snapping turtle. Your teacher is Ben Britton, Director of Wild Animal Encounters Foundation. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Richard.
Everyone's been smiling at me in a slightly kind of strange way, and then Lyndall came and whispered in my ear, "You're not allowed to touch his head." Now, I'm not sure whether it was a reference to you, Ben.
Well, it's been a few last couple of times that you haven't been in here when I came in, so you've missed out on the beautiful animals we've been showcasing. So I thought, now that you're back on deck, I had to choose something special.
Yeah, thanks. Why couldn't I have got the cute monkey? So this is you brought this animal in. He's still in containers, in a container.
Yeah, she's still in her transport box at the moment. I will get her out. She's an beautiful female alligator snapping turtle, and she's quite heavy. So the only reason I haven't got her out because I don't want to have to hold her for the whole segment, basically. But I will get her out in a minute, and she's about 20 kilos in weight at the moment, which is near an adult for one of these females.
Lyndall said, just whispering to me during the news, "More of an alligator than a turtle, old man."
Well, that's where they get. They've got this real prehistoric look about them, and I'm just dragging this out to build up a bit of anticipation here with you, Richard. But they've got all these. You'll see these spikes in their shell and this real armor on them, and so that's where they get the name alligator snapping turtle because they're found in a similar area in that sort of southeastern United States through that Mississippi sort of area, and also because they look a lot like, to some people, an American alligator.
And are they really thrown back in evolutionary terms? Have they been around for a long time?
Yeah, they have. Like, if you look at turtles generally, you know, they've been around for, you know, in some form, right back to sort of dinosaur periods in some turtle form-like creature. And, like, these guys are one of the largest freshwater turtles found anywhere on Earth. They're not the largest. There's the giant softshell turtle in Asia. There's only about three of them remain. They're critically endangered. But these guys get up to, about 100 kilos, and so they definitely are one of the giants of the turtle world, if you like. Did you want to meet her?
Yeah, sure, sure. Right. There's going to be a bit more of a lesson about the life, the lifespan and the life cycle, but let's get the star attraction in. We're not filming this one because we're just a little bit concerned, but we are going to put some still pictures up. My God.
Okay.
All right, I don't know where to begin. This is like a prop from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, look, if you look at this beautiful, and I think that's the only way to describe this beautiful shell that she's got down the back. It's in these three rows of sort of like spines, I guess is the best way to describe them. These three really rough ridges, and then the way the shell sort of cuts in and out along her side here. That mouth that I've sort of pointed in your direction.
Thank you.
You can see it's like a big parrot-like beak.
Mm.
And that's where they get the name snapping turtle from, in the fact they're ambush predators. So she'll sit, they stay submerged for large periods of time. So she'll only come out of the water to lay her eggs, and she'll trek about, say, 50 feet inland and lay her eggs and then head back to the water. So they're ambush predators. So she'd sit down in the water and she'd sit with the mouth open, and they've got a special little pink worm-like set down inside the mouth. And this will actually wriggle around in the water and looks like a little worm. So it's not actually her tongue, but it's an adaptation inside the mouth. A fish sees this, thinks it's a worm, swims down to catch the worm, and then she strikes out really quick, much quicker than you and I could move, and grabs a hold of the fish.
So it's a built-in lure.
It's a built-in lure inside the mouth. And so it's incredible. We love watching these guys back at Wild Animal Encounters, seeing them when they start luring. And one of the staff will say, the snapping turtle's luring. And she'll be sitting there with the mouth open, and you'll see this little lure just slowly wriggling back and forth, and it looks exactly like a little pink worm of some description in the water. Mm-hmm. And you can just imagine a little fish moving up, just thinks, I've got a free feed here. And then lo and behold, she strikes out and gets a hold of it. And you can see the size of her mouth there. I guess her head's a bit bigger than my fist, to give an indication to the listeners. And so she can swallow anything.
Just describe it more. It's very hard to describe, but it is like something you'd imagine, if you imagine something like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, very sort of leathery skin, this folded darker material around the feet and the neck. And yeah, prehistoric, these spikes everywhere, including in this kind of frill of skin around the neck, which is all spiked like a spiked collar.
Yeah, she's got all that around, and you see those large nails she's got, and even around the eyes. If we'll hopefully get some nice pictures we can put online at the end of the segment so your listeners can check them out. And you see those little spines she's even got around the eyes. And this all really helps with her camouflage. And they don't move, they move so little, in fact. They'll often actually have algae grow across their shells, and this helps even more when they're trying to camouflage and have that lure work for them. And so you can imagine, she's, as I said before, she's about 20 kilos, this female. This is about as big as a female is going to get. She's 16 years of age. They can live up to over 70 years. But the male, we've got a big male snapping turtle back at Wild Animal Encounters, and he'll eventually get up to around 100 kilos. They can actually weigh as much as myself. And so you can imagine me bunching me up, Richard, into the form of a turtle here. They're incredibly large animals because being in the water most of the time, obviously that water helps with a buoyancy point of view.
Yeah, and how do they breed other than very carefully?
Yeah, very carefully indeed. You don't want to upset her with that mouth she's got on her. But breed once a year, and the female will lay between 80 to around 50 eggs. And as I said, that's the only time the female will actually leave the water. They can sometimes, males have been observed basking just in the shallows with a little bit of sun on their back, but primarily
like an alligator.
They're like an alligator. And you can imagine if you could just see, if you're over in the swamps over there in Louisiana and you saw just the back of this shell out of the water, you probably would think it is an alligator, hence the name. And so they'll trudge up out of the water, lay those eggs, and then head back. And when the babies hatch around 100 to 140 days later, they're exact little replicas of their parents. And if you have a look, some of your listeners might have to check out online, like a hatchling alligator snapping turtle, I think is one of the cutest little things you could ever see.
It's a tiny, pretty version of this.
Yeah, it's like a little prehistoric toy. Yeah. And so that's one of the big threats to these guys over here, because the illegal harvesting of them, people think, oh, this is a cute little pet, and taken from the wild, and they're now actually threatened in much of their range. And so we're hoping in the future at Wild Animal Encounters we might be able to very carefully introduce the male and female and see if we can't produce some of those cute little babies of our own.
Okay, without, of course, putting them to the Australian river.
Yeah, exactly.
Australian river
systems. Part of all our, which is all our animals, part of the regional zoo breeding programs, and make sure, yeah, they're not going to escape in our river systems.
Yeah. Can I just touch the shell? Is that all
right?
Yeah,
what I'll do, if you want to come around and touch her on the back here. I'll swing her this way a little bit. So
quite cold. And feeling quite like a sort of damp leather, I suppose.
Yeah, we can imagine these
rather than shell.
This shell is very, 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 very strong. Like all turtles and tortoises, they've got that shell both on above and the plastron below to protect them so they can't turn around. And she can't really, you can imagine her, compared to, say, some of our freshwater turtles we have here in Australia, she can't bring her whole tail. If you have a look at this tail, Richard, if you come around, you see she's got quite a long tail.
Oh, wow, okay.
She's got the tail was nearly a foot long. Mm. And so she can't get that all inside a shell. Likewise with her head and her feet, whereas something like one of our freshwater turtles that people might see crossing the road during the wet, they can get pretty much their head, neck and legs inside that shell, whereas she's sort of somewhere in between. She's more like a sea turtle, I guess, where they have those flippers and that big head they can't get back inside the shell.
And we were talking about tortoises at the zoo the other day, and turtles and tortoises, they all live a long time, don't they? They seem to anyway.
They do. Like I said, this particular species, the alligator snapping turtle, known to live over 70 years. And so if you look at that, she's only about 16 years of age at the moment. So hopefully she's got a nice long life ahead of her with us at Wild Animal Encounters.
Mm. Now, the threats you mentioned, partly you mentioned the idea of humans going and harvesting. What are the other threats?
Look, it's like it's sort of most animals, unfortunately, the wildlife, is habitat loss, degradation of habitat, and losing their habitat to various other industries. And so that's where, you know, really, like we're trying to do at Wild Animal Encounters and with our foundation, is looking into conserving habitat. Because if you conserve habitat, then obviously you can save all the species, not just an individual one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last little bit of information, but it's intriguing. The temperature of the nest determines the sex of the babies.
Yeah, that's right. Like a lot of turtle species and also alligators and crocodiles, if you get around a constant temperature around 31.5 to 32 degrees, you're going to get males. And if you're getting fluctuating temperatures during incubation to lower and higher temperatures, you're more likely to get females. And so that's a nice way in the wild to make sure there's a good mix of both males and females there. Though it does also mean in captivity, in a captive environment, for example, crocodile farms up north, they'll actually incubate eggs at a certain temperature so they know what they're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feed? What do you feed your...
They actually eat a variety of different things. They'll eat rodents, and so we'll actually feed her rats and mice, dead, of course. They're not sort of swimming through the water. With tongs, of course, as well, to make sure we don't get our fingers too close to that mouth. And also fish. And so she gets a good variety, but all her food is fed to her already killed.
We survived.
You survived,
Richard.
There
was Richard. No snappy.
Yeah, no snappy. She's just starting to move around a little bit now, and so... maybe we can turn around and get you a nice big cuddling photo to put online.
Oh, thanks for that. No, I think the listeners would enjoy a picture of you, Ben.
We'll see. We'll flip a coin.
Hey, thanks very much.
Anytime, Richard.
Another lesson on Self-Improvement Wednesday. Ben Britton has been our guest, director of Wild Animal Encounters Foundation. You can hear that lesson again online at abc.net.au/Sydney. And, of course, Lawrence will be putting up some photographs so you can get an image of this extraordinary prehistoric-looking animal on our Facebook page and on our website. Next week, Anne Rogerson, the Charles Tesserero Senior Lecturer in Latin at the University of Sydney. Her topic, Brexit, Ancient Roman Style, the Roman occupation and then withdrawal from Britain. That's Self-Improvement Wednesday next week.